Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with the great prophecies of the end days that have come to us in our time through the intercession of the Mother of God. In the Old Testament, we read that whenever the people of God committed sins, they would take a lamb or ram from the flock and bring it to the priest of the temple, and the priest would offer it in sacrifice and pray for the sins of the people who were present at the sacrifice, and in that manner their sins were remitted. Now, this was a figure of the sacrifice of the new law that was to come, because in the New Testament, it is the Lamb of God who was offered in sacrifice through the priest. And as in the Old Testament, the people have to be present at the sacrifice to have their sins remitted. They have to attend the sacrifice of Calvary. But we cannot be at Calvary 2,000 years ago to have our sins remitted, so Christ planted Calvary in our midst through the institution of the one ongoing sacrifice of Calvary, which we call the Mass. And this is what Holy Thursday was all about. Christ underwent his sacrifice on Good Friday, yes, but on the day prior, Holy Thursday, he instituted this sacrifice as an ongoing, perpetual sacrifice that would continue till the end of time. Each Mass is one and the same sacrifice. They are not many. That is the perpetual sacrifice of Calvary. And this is the very point that Pope John Paul II is attempting to bring home for us in his encyclical on the Eucharist, that the Mass is a sacrifice, our Lord's sacrifice on the cross. It is not a meeting or a meal, nor is it a gathering or celebration, nor is it a mere commemoration of Christ's sacrifice, but it is the actual event of Calvary that took place 2,000 years ago. The sacrifice of the Mass is a memorial, yes, in that Christ's sacrifice is commemorated at Holy Mass, but in commemorating his sacrifice, this reenacts the sacrifice and makes it present. As St. Paul says, quote, "As often as you shall eat this bread and drink the chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come." 1 Corinthians 11:26. Now, in order for there to be a sacrifice, there has to be the victim. There has to be that body and blood that is shed. And that's exactly what takes place at Holy Mass. When the priest elevates the bread and chalice, Christ's sacrifice is mystically renewed on the altar so that his body and blood becomes present. At the instance during the Mass, when the priest pronounces the words of consecration, "This is my body, and this is my blood," a conversion takes place which surpasses all the laws of nature. The whole substance of bread and wine is changed into the whole substance of Christ's body and blood, so that Christ becomes present on the altar. It is no longer bread and wine from that point. The bread and wine ceases to be, even though the accidents or the physical properties remain, but it is now Christ himself on the altar under the appearance of bread and wine, offering himself in sacrifice. And the body and blood that he sacrifices for us becomes our nourishment at Holy Mass. This is the bread of life spoken of in St. John chapter 6, where Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." John 6:51-52. And then he goes on to say, quote, "And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." So that there be no mistake, he is saying that his flesh is the very thing that he will feed us with. He is going out of his way to tell us this, even saying, "My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." John 6:56. He says indeed, not symbolically or parabolically, but indeed. It's the real thing that we consume. At the time, his disciples didn't understand how this could be, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" John 6:53. But when our Lord instituted his sacrifice at the Last Supper, then it became clear to them how his body and blood would be channeled to the world in the ages to come. And not just his body and blood, but his soul and divinity with it. When the priest offers up the Mass, the host becomes the very substance of Jesus Christ, wholly and entirely, consisting in his full body, blood, soul, and divinity. This miraculous change of the bread and wine is known as transubstantiation and is a dogma of faith, that is, a truth revealed by God, and therefore it must be believed by the faithful. But accordingly, it must be acknowledged properly too. Everything that is done in the church, whether it's through preaching or retreats or ordinances on dress or whatever, has to be subservient to bringing about the awareness of the physical and supernatural presence of Jesus Christ in his sanctuary. That is the whole focal point of our religion. The church is the dwelling place for the Son of God upon earth. That is his palace. Man must enter the church with respect and silence and revere the presence of his Maker in his house. The greatest sin being committed today in the church is the excessive irreverence, where man sets himself to violate the church with all manner of noise and talking and activity. As in our Lord's time, the church today has become a place of traffic, where the temple is once again abused for man's own gain and gratification. But as in our Lord's time, Christ is going to come among us once again and drive us from his house, but this time it will not be with cord and whip. Let it be known that the Lord on high is making ready to visit the world with a great warning. This will be an explosive worldwide event, unlike anything ever seen upon earth before. But this warning will fall hardest on the clergy for their infidelity and their misguidance of the church. As it says in the Bible, the Lord will search Jerusalem with lamps. Meaning, of course, that the light of God will suddenly illuminate the eternal city when he intervenes with this great warning. And on that day, they won't be able to hide themselves from the face of God. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, the Lord will search them out and say, Adam, where are you? And they will say, we sinned, O Lord, and we had to hide from you. And he will say, and what was thy sin, my son? And they'll say, we rebelled against your vicar on earth, Pope John Paul II, and we listened to the woman instead, who presented us with the forbidden fruit, and we were more dazzled by her nonsense than with the beauty and glory of thy majesty. And of course, we are alluding to the feminist movement that is prevalent today in the church, with things like altar girls, women on the altar, women lecturers, women ministers of the Eucharist, and so on. By the allowance of such things, it is the clearest indication that the feminists exert a far greater influence over the minds of today's clergy than does Almighty God. And this is why we have things today like sex abuse, because of our perverted procedures. The prophet Isaiah spoke of these days when he said, as for my people, their oppressors have stripped them, and women have ruled over them. And that's Isaiah 3:12. So what we're looking at today is a lack of dedication amongst the priests. So that we understand, Christ is our eternal high priest of the new evangelical law, who offers himself in sacrifice, and the parish priest is simply an instrument that Christ uses to bring this sacrifice to us. So the vocation of a priest, then, is to unite with Christ, our high priest, so that he can be a worthy instrument in bringing the Eucharist to us. No doubt, the greatest example of this, at least in modern times, would be Padre Pio, the great mystic who bore the stigmata wounds of Christ for 50 years. He truly was a living Christ among us, most especially because his vocation was carried out with sacrifice and dedication. Now, in a general way, the definition of a priest would be a consecrated soul who was appointed by God to offer sacrifice for the sins of the people. In other words, his office is an office of sacrifice. And so we had the high priest Melchizedek back in the Old Testament, or also Aaron, who would offer up a goat or a lamb in sacrifice to expiate the sins of the people. But in the New Testament, it is the Lamb of God who was offered in sacrifice, or better put, it is the Lamb of God who offers himself in sacrifice through his representative, the priest. And this fulfills the prophecy concerning Christ in his sacrificial office, where it says in the Psalms, thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, we should take special note that it didn't say, thou art a priest on Good Friday only. It didn't say, your office of priestly sacrifice will begin and end on Good Friday, but that you would be a priest forever. Meaning, of course, that he would offer himself perpetually through the ages in the sacrifice of the Mass. Sadly, many clergy of our time have revolted from this holy precept and want to see the Mass today as a community gathering or a meal. The Church since Vatican II has been in a state of revolt, spiritually, but soon this will materialize in a material way. On March 25, 1978, the Blessed Virgin Mary gave the following message to the world when she said, there will be a great revolution in Rome, in Italy, and many countries of Europe, my child, because a man of sin is preparing the way. The forces of communism are gaining and will enter upon the seat of Peter. You will recognize, my children, by the directions that shall come from Rome. Unquote. And that was from the message of the Blessed Virgin as given to the seer Veronica of Bayside, and we'll be speaking more on the Bayside visions shortly. But the point that we want to bring home is that the coming revolution will be the impending sign that the warning is about to happen. As Jesus himself tells Veronica, I give you one indication that the time is ripe. When you see, when you hear, when you feel the revolution in Rome, when you see the Holy Father fleeing, seeking a refuge in another land, know that the time is ripe. And that's our Lord's message, September 14th, 1976. You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we're discussing today the coming intervention from heaven because of the corruption and poor discipline today within the church. Indeed, the warning will be a day of reckoning upon the world. None will escape the explosive effects of this warning, but it will fall especially hard on the clergy for their ill treatment of the Eucharist and allowing things like Eucharistic ministers and communion in the hand. Our Lady says that they are in a fog. On November 24, 1973, Our Lady said, "The Father plans to awaken those who have fallen asleep in his house by a great warning." And of course, by fallen asleep, she means fallen asleep on the job, where they let lay people overtake their job and play priest, when in fact they are not anointed to do this. Now, we mentioned the feminists before, because they are a major force in the church that have been responsible for a lot of these new changes. The whole agenda of the feminists is to undermine the man, be he husband or priest. That is their religion. But heaven says, no, no, no. On July 15, 1977, Jesus sends this warning where he says, "None but legally ordained priests in my house shall bring my body to the multitudes. No woman shall stand in the holy place. No woman shall vie or compete for rulership in my house." One of the great scandals of having Eucharistic ministers is that it promotes communion in the hand. It's teaching the congregation that it's okay for lay people to handle the host. In an interview with the press some years ago, Mother Teresa of Calcutta was asked what the two greatest sins of our time were, and she answered, "Abortion and communion in the hand." And indeed, this is true. Heaven agrees. On November 19, 1977, Our Lady said, "Do not accept the host in your hand. Do not allow this to be done without an outcry." Again, she says, quote, "Communion in the hand has not been and will not be accepted by heaven. This is a sacrilege in the eyes of the Eternal Father." That's Our Lady speaking June 30th, 1984, and from these words alone we can see clearly that communion in the hand was never implemented legally. In fact, in May 1969, Pope Paul VI had sent an apostolic letter to all the bishops of the world, entitled Memoriale Domini, principally forbidding the practice of communion in the hand. In the document he even states, "The method on the tongue must be retained." But like everything else, it went in one ear and came out the next, to the great sorrow of Our Lady. On May 14, 1977, Our Lady said, "The greatest sorrow that smites my heart, my children, is the desecration to my son's body. None shall bring the sacred body of my son, his body and blood, to another but a legally ordained priest with consecrated hands." Our Lady echoes the same thought on August 21, 1975, where she says, "Pastors, no hands other than those consecrated by a legally ordained priest shall give the host to others." On May 26, 1979, she said, "We ask that all bishops and cardinals refrain from promoting change and reform in my son's church. They must gather the peoples into the church to do honor before the Eucharist." Again, she says, quote, "All honor must be given to my son in the Eucharist. Man must kneel. My son's house is the house of God and a house of prayer, and it must not be turned into a meeting hall." And that's Our Lady speaking July 25, 1979. As Our Lady has often said, less and less honor is being given to her son. And Christ today is being dishonored in his church in two basic ways. Number one, the people won't kneel anymore for communion. They won't bend a knee to their God. And number two, they receive the communion in their hands. Now, both of these are against the ongoing practice of the church for 2,000 years. It is true that they used to take the communion in the hand back in the 3rd century, but that was because of the heretical Arians who had infiltrated the church. They had introduced this practice to the church to express their belief that Christ was not divine. Unfortunately, it has served to express the same today and has been at the very center of all the heresy and desecration that is now rampant throughout the church. Communion in the hand opens the door to all sorts of problems and abuse. You hear of stories about communion hosts being found crumbled in the pews after Mass or thrown in the holy water font, and there was even a story not too long ago about a man who had given a communion host to his dog. Thanks to this practice, the Satanists are now given easy access to come into the church and take the host so that they take it back to their covens and abuse it in their satanic rituals. Amongst themselves, the Satanists declare that communion in the hand is the greatest thing that ever happened to them. This is what's making them grow. They earnestly seek the host to desecrate it in their black mass ritualistic sacrifices, where they crush it under their shoes and do all sorts of atrocious things. And Our Lady herself tells us this in the message of November 19, 1977, where she says, Communion in the hand was promoted by Satan because of the rise of Satanists now in our country and in the world. They are conducting black mass secretly and openly. The children are the greatest victims of this evil. The sacred species, the host, is being used during these rituals of black mass and Satanism in a most abominable way. Please, Our Lady says, do not accept the host in your hand. Do not allow this to be done without an outcry. No man shall be worthy to accept my son's body. And actually, that was Veronica speaking on behalf of Our Lady. November 19th, 1977. So disciplinary measures are needed right now to curb the abuses against the Holy Eucharist. In the meantime, we continue as we've done for years, and as the Church has done for centuries. Our Lady asks that we receive communion even daily if possible, but that we receive from a priest only, not from a layperson or a deacon, that we receive on the tongue only, not in the hand, and that we kneel to receive communion, unless, of course, we can't because of health or debilitating reasons. On July 14, 1979, Our Lady said, "My children, kneel before your God in the Eucharist. Do not stand like you stand in meeting halls, but kneel and give him a just love and observance of honor." This message to the world through Veronica has to be the most Eucharist-oriented message of our time, and the most Eucharist-oriented message of all time. It really brings into focus the great honor and dignity of the Blessed Sacrament, and the honor that is due to it. From the years 1970 through 1995, the Blessed Virgin and her son would speak at length with Veronica concerning these crucial issues that now face the Church, and for this, we clamor for her recognition. We would invite you at this time to write in for the free information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Or you can call toll-free 1-800-345-MARY. Included with your packet is a rose petal blessed by Jesus on the sacred grounds that has attached to it the power of cure and conversion. There is no cost to receive this information, but again, we do remind you that your financial assistance is necessary to keep this program on the air. So if you'd like to see this message continue each week over the station, then send along your gift offerings today made payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate. And again, we do remind you that your donation is tax deductible. We also invite you to visit us at www.smwa.org, and that'll give you a nice look into this beautiful story of grace and peace that has unfolded in our time through the intercession of Our Lady of the Roses, Mary, Help of Mothers. That is the proper name of the Blessed Virgin Mary during these last days. She has asked that she be invoked under that name. And of course, these visitations of Our Lady to Veronica took place at rosary vigils that are held outdoors at the Vatican Pavilion site in Flushing Meadows Park, New York. That is the site of Our Lady's apparitions during these latter days. We are going to listen now to a recorded segment of Veronica receiving the message from the Virgin Mary at the vigil of June 30th, 1984. Just to orient you again, Veronica at the vigils would be in a state of ecstasy in which she would see the Blessed Virgin Mary and her Divine Son. At their direction, she would repeat out loud the message they would give her. All is recorded on tape. Now what you're going to hear is Veronica's voice, but it is the Blessed Virgin speaking through her.
My child and my children, our hearts are heavy this evening because the evils that we have warned you of have accelerated throughout the world. My son's heart is bleeding because of the manner in which his mass is being celebrated with neither honor nor sacrifice. My son is not pleased with the manner in which his body and blood is being given to all of the humans upon earth. Communion in the hand has not been and will not be accepted by heaven. This is a sacrilege in the eyes of the Eternal Father and must not be continued, for you only add to your punishment when you continue on in the ways that have been found to be unpleasing to the Eternal Father. Your children have become innocent victims of their elders. Many parents are crying because their children have been taken from them, never to be seen again. I want you to know at this time, my child and my children, that there is a gross cult a cult in your country now that is taking children from their homes to be grown up in an atmosphere of debauchery. Oh, my children, whatever shall become of you? I had traveled throughout your world, through countless earth years, warning you that you are approaching a most terrible punishment. And how can we stop this now? It has progressed and it's too late to be stopped. Oh, my children, I know there are many that cry with me. I go about the world now with tears constantly flowing upon my children. My tears shall not stop, for I know now that all of the cataclysms and all of the floods and all of the droughts shall continue. Mankind must be awakened from their slumbers, for they shall be punished in a way far worse than the human mind could comprehend. I tried to warn you, my children, that there is great talk, and action going on now throughout your country. But the talks will get you nowhere, for they do not talk of the Eternal Father. They talk of peace upon earth where there is no peace. There shall never be peace without your God. No man is a god, and as such, he shall not make himself a god in the eyes of others. Oh, my children, I beg you as your mother to listen to me. My voice grows weak. I have raised up other voice boxes throughout the world now to try to reach those who have not deafened their ears, child, please. We ask you all to keep a constant vigilance of prayer going throughout your country and the world. I warn you again, the United States of America is in great danger of invasion. You are surrounded now by the enemy. Do not be misled by your news medias. They are not telling you the full truth. There is much going on that is kept hidden from you. Your country, the United States of America, and also Canada, has been invaded from within. The enemy has worked their way in well. It has taken years in which I came to you as your mother and begged you to listen while there was time. But who cared enough to listen? Only those few who we now depend on to go forth and bring the message to the world. The children, the innocent children, are victims of debauchery. The children, many of them shall die. We shall set upon your nation and other nations of the world a mysterious disease. But be it known now, it will not be a mysterious disease, but the hand of the Eternal Father placed down to remove these innocent souls before they are sent into debauchery. Oh, my children, the missing children in your countries are not just missing because they want to be adopted or others wish to take them into their homes as children to be loved. They are being taken to be used in all foul manners. Oh, my children, I beg you as your mother, listen to me. I shall never give up hope that you will listen to me as my tears flow upon you. Our lady now is crying. The tears are just, it's like raining from heaven. The tears are falling down now upon us. Now Jesus is looking down at his mother. She's turned her head away to wipe the tears from her face. And Jesus now is turning towards me and he's placing his first fingers to his lips. My child and my children, my mother, my mother, my dear mother, her tears are falling upon the nations, for she knows, as I do, what has befallen mankind and what the future holds. I warn you all now, you are approaching a terrible crisis, a crisis that will involve death. Blood shall flow from the streets of New York soon. My children, that does not mean that you will flee, for you will find it will be of no use to flee the carnage, for you will not be safe anywhere but under the mantle of my mother. And all who wear their scapulars and the rosary will be saved, but all those who cast them aside as superstition shall be lost.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to a recorded segment of Veronica receiving the message from the Virgin Mary and Jesus on June 30th, 1984. Again, we would invite you to write for the free information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That website again, www.smwa.org. And we'll be back next week with more on this urgent message of Jesus and Mary to the world through their servant, Veronica of the Cross.